Would you turn with me this morning to the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. We thank God for every opportunity that is afforded us to say a word for the Lord. And I seek your prayers as we come this morning. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, the New American Standard Version, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. I want to use as a title for the message this morning, the conduct of a good minister of the church. The conduct of a good minister of the church. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, I believe we are facing a critical age where the character and conduct of ministers is before us and on the line. It's a time when we have so many poor models of ministry, of persons whose lives often don't reflect what they preach and teach. It is a critical time when so many teachings that are not of the Lord, that are not in line with the Word of God, are so prevalent in our day. A time of multimedia where we're exposed to so many, many teachers and teachings. It's a time when those who proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ are admonished to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Indeed, this is the imperative that Paul, the great apostle, shares with young Timothy as Paul moves on through Macedonia and leaves Timothy in Ephesus to give leadership to the churches there in that region. We know that there has been a great relationship, a great bond that has been established between Paul and Timothy. I just love that relationship as a professor here and as a local pastor, that opportunity to be a mentor to younger ministers is something challenging. It is something that we see as a very serious matter for those of us who have been afforded this opportunity to dare think that we could be a model or a mentor for a young minister. But indeed, that is one of the most critical tasks we have, because one can know all the Word of God, but if our life and conduct is not in line with the Word of God, then brothers and sisters, our preaching, our teaching, our ministry will be of no effect. And that is Paul and Timothy's relationship. Paul, who comes through Lystra, probably on his first journey, encounters Lois and Eunice, grandmother and mother of Timothy. He becomes a new convert. And later, when Paul comes back through Lystra, young Timothy is recommended to him as a companion to go with him in the ministry. And it seems that Paul takes on the responsibility of mentoring this young man, Timothy, for the ministry. And what an example. What are some things in young Timothy that reflect the kind of character and characteristics that we ought to admire for a young person in ministry today? It seems that, first of all, he was most obedient to Paul. He followed and did what needed to be done. Whatever the menial task may have been, Timothy did whatever Paul required. Now, there are some in ministry today. I know none here at Southern Seminary, but in some places there are those who think that the moment they understand their sense of call to ministry, they have everything that they need. They walk around with a kind of arrogance that really no one can tell them anything. No one can really model anything for them. They have a calling and that's all they need. Some have even decided that seminary is not what they need, that all they really need is a calling. I suggest to you need a calling. You need an anointing, if that's the word you prefer. Also need some training, but we also need some models in ministry. Some persons who will walk along beside us to show us the way, to correct us, even to discipline us. What a word in year 2002, discipline. Are we talking about disciplining ministers and calling someone into accountability? But yes, indeed, that is the role that Timothy had to assume under Paul's leadership, that he had to be disciplined by the more seasoned one, Paul, so that later in their work and service of God, as they come to Ephesus and the Holy Spirit directs Paul to move on, the Lord now entrusts Timothy with the responsibility to stay there in Ephesus with the confidence that Paul has appropriately mentored him. But just to be very certain that Timothy understands what he's about to encounter, Paul writes this letter back to Timothy, giving him some last instructions so that he may be found to be a successful minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to him here, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillow and support of the truth. In other words, Paul is saying to young Timothy, you ought to know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And I have to tell you that I really believe we're at a crisis time in the ministry where many don't know how to conduct themselves in the house of God. Oh, we walk around with the symbols, the crosses around our neck, the 10-pound Bibles under our arm, and a briefcase. We walk around with all of those things that make us look like we're a preacher. We dress like preachers. But we don't know how to conduct ourselves in the household of God. We don't know how to set a good example in the house of God. And so many are not respecting those who would be called to the ministry. And so Paul wants to make sure that Timothy knows that before anyone will hear what he has to preach, they will see how he lives. And he wants him to know that it's imperative that he conduct himself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he says some things then in chapter 4 of things that if he's to be a successful ministry, a minister among these persons in Ephesus, that he has to prescribe and teach some things and says to him, don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness. I think the old King James translation says, let no man despise thy youth. In other words, don't be intimidated simply because you are a young person. Many here in our seminary are young, although it seems like the older I get, the older you get. But many in seminary are young. Some are young Christians. Some are very young in the ministry. And often you will, even in the seminary days and shortly after, be called to positions of ministerial leadership. And as a young pastor, I can remember walking into my first deacon's meeting, and every deacon in the room was old enough to be my grandfather except one. And the first thought came in my mind, these fellows are not going to listen to a single thing I have to say. But I found out that if you somehow can, by the power and grace of God, and he adds here, mercy of God, which you need, by the mercy of God, if we live so before them, that even a more mature person in age can learn to follow and respect the leadership of one who conducts him or herself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so Timothy is admonished by Paul here to don't be intimidated by your age. I don't know, he's probably in his 30s. May not seem young to you now, but in that at that time that was young for a young man in the ministry. But he said, if you want to have the respect of those, if you want to accomplish what God would have you accomplish, he says, there are some things that you must do for the believers. You see, earlier when Paul said to Timothy, here are, in chapter 3, here are the qualifications for an overseer. He said there in verse 7 of chapter 3, and you must have a good reputation with those outside the church. That's one of the things that a good minister must have, a good overseer must have. But let me tell you, although that is absolutely critical and important, if you do not have a good reputation among those in the church, it really doesn't matter very much what kind of reputation you have outside the church. In fact, those who are up close and personal, who serve with you Sunday after Sunday, who are a part of what you do on a daily basis, those are the ones, first of all, that we need to set a good example for. And then when we have set that a good example, then we're in a position to set a good example for those who are outside the church. They will see that the people inside the congregation respect who we are. And so he says to him, you must set a good example or be a good example to the believers in certain ways. And I really believe that if we are to be successful, quote, successful in ministry, we have to show ourselves a good example for the believers in these ways. First of all, he said, in speech. Thought about what Paul wrote to the church, the Colossian church in chapter 4, Colossians 4, 6. He said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man or respond to each person. In other words, I really believe if we are to be the effective people in ministry, as Paul was trying to tell Timothy he needed to be, we need to know how we ought to speak to the believers and to others. I don't know about you. I guess I tell folk now I'm in my 50s, I'm getting old and a little cranky. But I find out, friends, that I don't know you. I've run into a lot of ministers who kind of carry arrogance about them. And they don't know how to speak to the people to whom they have been sent to serve. That there's a kind of lording over people, this arrogance that I have arrived and that I am somebody. But if we are really to be respected and to be used of God, we've got to learn how to speak to the folk in a manner that glorifies God. Our language ought to be so that it is not insipid and coarse and corrupt, but it is pleasant and it is a joy. It feeds into the hearts and the minds of the people that we are called to minister to. I know you have your MDiv and I know you have arrived, but know how to talk to the folk. Speak to them in a manner that blesses them instead of makes them feel like they've never read the Bible, they've never understood anything. You had it all. I know you took Dr. Block's class, you got it all together, but let them know that you know how to speak to them in a spirit that edifies instead of destroys them. Know how to talk to folk. And that sounds too simple, but I hate to tell you that so many in ministry, they walk in the door with such an arrogance about them, and then they can't understand why people don't want to follow your leadership. The second one, he says, also set a good example in your conduct. Again, in another writing, Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, Philippians 1:27, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I think the NIV translation of that says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. There are going to be some unpleasant things that will happen as we serve the Lord. But regardless of what happens, if we really want to have the respect of those that we serve, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Part of our maturity often is that we hold our peace. That we conduct ourselves when maybe when we were in the world we would say some other things. But we learn to conduct ourselves in a way that glorifies God. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Before you say it, before you do it, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I thought about an illustration I told one time before that if you should go out, this fellow I knew had a new car, just drove it to church for the first Sunday. No one had seen it. You know how we are about new cars. Had it in the parking lot, and someone opened the door, struck his new car. Standing in the parking lot, this good deacon lost his, young folks say, cool, and just went off about who had scratched his car. And of course, there was a little child there watching this deacon in the way he was conducting himself over a little scratch in the car, only to find out later that his wife also drove to church that day, parked next to him. It just happened to be her car. She opened her door and hit his car. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of God. You don't know who's watching you, in what setting they are watching you. He said, also set an example, not only in your speech and in your conduct, but also in love. Again, we want to reference what Paul wrote to others in Colossians, again, chapter 3, verse 14. Beyond all things, and what are those things? The heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You want unity? Love. Love covers a multitude of sins. You want to bring us together. Love them anyway, anyhow. Love them. That is the model for us. Love the people. I really believe the reason so many have short ministries in certain locations is that they have not decided, I will love you. I don't care how you treat me, I'm going to love you. If we as ministers would go and simply decide, I'm going to love the people. I'm going to love you because God has loved me. I believe that that's one of the keys to a long ministry and to what maybe some would call a successful ministry. Love the people of God. Know that they are God's special folk. They have been called out by God. And we have no other choice. Our greatest imperative is to love the people of God. I'm going to love you. You may not even like me, but I'm going to love you. You may talk about me and stab me in the back, but I'm going to love you. Keep on loving you. Keep on loving you. And let me tell you, love is like a magnet. It will draw others into a relationship with you. Love. And then he said, in the King James, it is not in the New American Standard. It depends on, you know, which translation, the New King James. King James adds the word in the Spirit. And I didn't want to skip that, although we are New American Standard folk here, but I didn't want to skip that. In the Spirit, in Romans 8:1, in the Spirit, set an example in the Spirit, walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Honestly, if we are to minister successfully, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, if you're going to be used of God in this setting, you've got to set it a good example in the way you talk to people, in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you love them, in the level of your love, and be a person who walks in the Spirit. Know that you're a Spirit-filled person. You know, we as Baptists sometimes get a little nervous to talk about being Spirit-filled, but the Bible says we ought to be filled with the Spirit. Don't let the Pentecostals have all of that. Folk, we are filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Oh, I got an amen in Southern Chapel. Amen. In faith. I'm almost there. Then he said, show example in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. If Timothy is to gain the approval of those he's serving, be a man who walks in faith. Okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Verse 6, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and there were those in that day who were not believing, who were teaching other things, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him in faith. Set an example in faith. Be a person who walks by faith and not by sight. And then finally, he said, not only should you set a good example, or show yourself as an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in spirit, in faith, but finally, that one, that character, big character one in purity. Ephesians 5:3, Paul wrote, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. In Philippians 4:8, again, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lowly, lovely, whatever is good repute, if there be any excellence, if there be any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Purity is not something you do when everybody sees you. It's not who you are only when you're in the limelight. But purity is something we walk consistently in. We dwell on walking in purity. In fact, in Colossians 3:5, Paul equates immorality and impurity as idolatry. And in 1 Timothy here, 5:22, likewise, he calls it, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourselves free from sin, pure. And in Titus 1:15, to be pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. And what is he saying as I close, as I come to a close? Paul wants to admonish Timothy. Timothy, as God is now leaving you in Ephesus to provide ministry to these churches, even though you are a young man, here are some things I just want to leave with you as your mentor. So that if you will conduct yourself in this manner, God will bless your ministry among those you are serving. As I was seeking the Lord for this message, I really asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to seminary students primarily? What can we say to help them be more effective in ministry? And the word I can say is set a good example. That's what Timothy was trying to say. Paul was trying to say to Timothy, set a good example. Be a good example. Let me tell you, it will carry you much further than understanding all of the theologies. Not that you should not. But being a good example will carry you much further than in ministry than even degrees, and you need those. We need to be as equipped as we possibly can be. But there is no substitute, no education that will substitute from walking the life that we preach and teach about. Nothing else will matter if your life does not reflect what the Word of God admonishes us to be. We all know what has happened in the media with many high-profile ministers. With all of their training and mega ministries, now many of us can't turn on the TV and even listen to them any longer because they have not lived the life that they've been preaching about. Now, lest we sound too pious here, we'll warn you, even the best of us will miss the mark. Even the best of us has to fight temptation. Even the best of us knows that Satan and his demons will put traps, stumbling blocks in our way. Don't think that we have it so together that surely we live above sin. There's that kind of sense that we live by the Word of God and nothing can touch us. I warn you that if we don't consistently stay in the Word of God and stay on our knees and trust some people who can mentor us to tell us when we are off the straight and narrow path, when we may be going wrong, and get to a point where someone can tell us that we need some help along the way, trust me, brought shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So find an older minister. Find someone who can mentor you, that one can be accountable to. When I was a new student here in the formations class, we had to read a book called every pastor needs a pastor. And I don't even remember who wrote the book, but I can't forget the title of the book. I now understand that more now, after almost 25 years as a pastor. I now understand that more than ever before, that even a pastor of 25 years needs someone that they're accountable to, needs a mentor, needs someone you can call, someone that we need to be accountable to in addition to the Lord. I admonish you, my brothers and sisters, set a good example for the believers, and God will bless your ministry and use you far beyond any measures you could imagine He would use you. Would you pray with me as I close? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will guide, direct, and bless us, Lord, as we attempt to become good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for those who have been our Pauls. Thank you, Lord God. Sometimes they are professors. Sometimes they are pastors who are the Pauls in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that they have set a good example, and then they hold us accountable to be faithful ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with us now, Lord God. Make us better ministers. Make us better examples. May we learn to conduct ourselves in the household of God in a way that brings glory to your name. That Lord, we will bring no shame to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for these students who are here today, that you'll bless them in the places where they now serve, in the places where they are preparing to serve. Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord God, that sinners will come to salvation and saints will be matured in the name of the Lord.